We're live at the Met with the Elixir of Love by Gaetano Donizetti. It's intermission now, so let's go backstage where Lauren Toulagian is with our Nemorino.
Thank you very much, Mary Jo. It's always a delight to speak with tenor Vittorio Grigolo. How are you?
Oh, guys, I'm good. Mary Jo, thank you so much. It's a delight, but I'm live or alive?
You're live and alive.
That's so funny. Did you see the last scene?
I did.
Curtain down and Nemorino was like a fighting match with Muhammad Ali.
Huh? Yeah, just a little bit. You're doing okay, though. You've got a nice bag on your
head.
Yes,
I have a nice trademark now from the mat on my forehead, but it's fine.
It looks good. It looks good on you. You have such an engaging energy on the stage. And your Nemorino is not so timid. He's less of a peasant, more of a poet. So tell us about this interpretation.
Yeah, actually, I have to. It was the first time with Bart. We had a chat, and it was really, I was for the first time surprised, because Nemorino, usually I'm playing the little kid, you know, immature, that does only to playing, you know, with machines and fixing things. And it's not such a, you know, like, I look also like a Werther, you know, to me. Like, the suit is so cool and actually out of my expectations. So when I saw the whole character, and he gave me a few notes about the character, I was actually very happy to play a different Nemorino as usual, you know, that I usually do. So actually I put on my suit and start writing about her, and it's kind of, you know, it's very an easy opera. This I should tell to bring all the kids and everybody who really like it's enjoyable, it's fresh, and you know, it's one of those titles that you want to see the house full and you want to give a little bit of a good time. It doesn't need a lot of preparation before. It's just you know, like a simple love story with a lot of fun. And so we need stories like this just to start people, you know, coming to the mat.
You and your Adina Alexandra Kurzhak are so fun to watch together, especially when you're pretending not to love each other. So speaking of preparation, did you spend a lot of time working out those details, your comic timing?
Actually, it's true. When you do comic and you want to make smile, if you pass the time, there is a comic, you know, when you want to make people cry, it's more easy. But let them smile, it's even harder, because you have to catch that ball at the right time, at the right time. So it has been very, very fun to work with Alexandra. She's an incredible singer. Also, she's enjoy very much the play and the character. So that's the key, you know, enjoying what you're doing, not thinking. When we are at the Met, such a great stage, we should forget about work and, you know, all the training. And that's what we're doing. We're really enjoying the libretto. That's what an artist should deliver. No, art is something that comes after the study, you know?
In just our last minute, I have to ask you about Una Furtiva Lagrima.
Yes.
You said something wonderful. We talked a couple of weeks ago on Sirius about something Beniamino Gigli said, that every time you sing it, it's like the first time.
Yeah, it is also for me. It is such an honor to be able to sing this aria and to feel the step that this stage had from other great tenors. That for me is it's an incredible moment, and maybe I'm shaking also behind stage, but this is not being afraid. We always say a courageous man is not the courageous, somebody that takes an act, courageous act, is not a man that doesn't have a fear. It's a man that has a little bit of fear, but it does it anyway. So that's what I feel. I mean, it's a kind of a tension, that it's adrenaline, and, you know, and I think about all Gigli and all his career, and feeling all these emotions still at his age, and having done this role a million times, and telling this to the little kid who's coming next to him, it's incredible.
Well,
I feel the same.
Well, we thank you for a few moments. It's always great talking with you, Vittorio.
Thank you, Sirius.
Thank you,
Lauren.
Mary Jo, back to you and I are in the radio booth while I look for Adina.
Thanks, Lauren.
You know, Mary Jo, Vittorio Grigolo was so moving last season into French opera's Tales of Hoffmann and Manon. I really look forward to hearing him next season as Romeo in Werther.
Wow, in Werther, his partner will be Isabel Leonard as Charlotte. And in the Gounod, Romeo as Juliet. His Juliet will be Diana Damrau, who was his Manon. Boy, they were very intense together.
Hot
that
stuff.
Was very exciting. Well, this production of L'Elysée d'Amore is by Bartlett Scheer. The sets are by Michael Juergen. Costumes by Catherine Zuber and lighting by Jennifer Tipton. The stage director is Louisa Muller. The production was a gift of the Monteforte Foundation in honor of Wim Kuiker. The chorus master is Donald Palumbo. Musical preparation is by Joan Dorneman, Gregory Buchalter, Linda Hall, and Stephen Eldridge. The assistant stage directors are Gregory Keller and Daniel Rigazzi. The prompter is Gregory Buchalter. The Italian coach is Hemdy Kafir. And the stage manager is Scott Moon. Well, I think he's raced down the hall, and Lauren Toulagian is now talking with our Adina.
Thank you very much, Mary Jo. I did. I found her. Alexandra Courjac, hello.
Hello.
Your Act One duet with Nemorino sounded like a love duet in every way, except for the words in which you're telling him to give up. So why does Adina put him off for so long?
I think it's you have to think about a normal life like everybody is living today. If the two teenagers are in love, they never will say, yes, I love you. It's just a normal behavior between two persons when they love each other. They just don't want to admit. They like this play and they like this enjoying themselves. So I think it's a very, very human, human-like feeling, like, you know, to play a little bit with each other.
You get to wear a great costume. I love that top hat. You're clearly the boss, but you're also a vulnerable young woman. Tell us about striking that balance.
Absolutely. This is, I think, very important to show this character of Adina. Otherwise, she can become unpleasant. This is very important to show that this is a young woman, in love, and it's absolutely in love with Nemorino from the very beginning. Just didn't want to admit, because she's like richer and she's the owner of the farm, and because of this. But the character of her, she's very sensitive, very warm person, I think. And with this, because otherwise Donizetti wouldn't write this beautiful music. The words are different thing, but the words, you're right, absolutely are against the music, kind of. So this is the tricky thing in this role, in this character, to put this together. What seems like impossible to do, but yeah. That's why it's so difficult.
Your duets and ensembles are some of the most enjoyable music in this opera. Do you have a favorite among them? Do you have a favorite moment?
This opera is full of highlights, I think. The very, very beautiful thing for me personally is the moment Adina Credimi. It's the final of the beginning of the final of the first act.
Bel canto is such a large part of your repertory. Have you always been drawn to it as opposed to some other idiom?
Actually, not very much. I always used to be a drama queen since I was very small. My mother told me that when I was 3 years old, I was playing with all the dolls at home. The third act, the cards act with the Traviata, throwing my dolls everywhere and playing Alfredo. So I wanted just always suffer on the stage. That's why I wanted to be the Tosca or Madame Butterfly or right. All these roles. But of course, there is a beautiful music in Bel canto and beautiful roles. You can get crazy, like doing Lucia in Lammermoor, what I'm doing next in London. So it's a very, very beautiful repertoire for a soprano, absolutely.
It is. And speaking of your childhood, I need to ask you about the times where you thought you might be a violinist and then you were thinking about maybe being a ballerina. So singing was the third choice. And
Yes.
Did you make the right choice?
Absolutely, absolutely. I wanted to be ballerina from the very beginning, of course, as a small girl. My parents took the decision to put me to the school, play violin, but kind of I grew up on the stage, the backstage, actually. That's why it came very, very naturally, this singing, and I really can't imagine anything else I could do today.
It's so nice seeing you here with your daughter, speaking of. Do you think she'll follow in your footsteps? You're here with her
who
and
knows?
Roberto Alagna.
Yes, who knows? Everybody keeps saying like this. When I came back in the break, what I have during the first act, I've heard her already singing here at the piano, high notes.
Okay.
And I came in and she said, bravo, mama, bravo, mama. I said, thank you, honey. Everybody keeps saying she has to be a singer. We will see. Yeah, it will be fun.
Yes, we will. So good to speak with you, Alexandra Courjac. Thank you for a few minutes.
Thank you very much.
I'm Lauren Toulagian, and we're live backstage at the Met. Mary Jo, back to you and I are in the radio booth.